Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Let's go! Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, DBTPFL. It's April, it's the 26th of April, it's 2017, it's a Wednesday. There are 15 games on today's slate, 3 early games, 12 late games. We're going to go over the 3 early games really quick. A lot of weather concerns in those games, so we're really going to have to pay attention to the weather if you're playing that early slate. We're going to definitely focus on the 12 game late slate. As always on Wednesday, Notorious, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, what's up? I'm doing well. The Jazz are on tonight, so I'll be sweating that throughout the show. My baseball lineups already fell apart, so don't have to worry about those tonight. And yeah, you slept through Lock, right?
Yeah, no baseball for me tonight. Like everybody knows, I was at Bristol, the rain delay, it got postponed. So race gets done about 5. I leave the track. You know, we stay afterwards and try to get all the, you know, interviews and all that shit. And it was good 7 o'clock when we left the track, and we got home about 5 a.m., 5:30. So had to write a baseball article after that and went to sleep, and the rest is history. So, you know, that's kind of how my day played out. But, yeah, it's an interesting slate today. I want to say thank you to Eric Crane and The Siege for filling in for me yesterday. Huge thanks to those guys. They crushed it. Loved the pod yesterday. They did a great job. So, We have a lot to talk about, so, you know, like you said, your Jazz are playing, you want to watch the game, so let's get into it. Let's talk about this three-game early slate here. We'll start with Cincinnati at Milwaukee. Thames is on the slate. He's the GOAT.
Oh, my gosh. Hit another one last night. STL tweeted out that he has as many home runs as the Red Sox this season, which is 11. This crazy.
Yeah, I remember being on him on opening day, and – you know, I don't want to say I was the first person on him, but, you know, me and CJ have been playing that guy since opening day, for what it's worth. Anyway, we got rookie Davis, William Davis against Willie Peralta. The pitchers here are definitely two pitchers you do not want to play.
Yeah, I agree. Even if you're playing the early slate, the three-game slate, I don't think you want to look at either of these guys. We got a high total of 9, and, yeah, hitter's ballpark, so...
Yeah, like realistically, if you're playing this three-game early slate, this is really the game you're going to be focusing on. So, like, you want the bats in this game. You want all the bats you can get in this game. The Reds, 1-6, Schrebler hitting the ball really well right now. He's kind of locked in. Duvall had another home run on Tuesday night. Joey Votto, Billy Hamilton, Peraza, like, all these guys, 1-6, firmly in play here.
Yeah, definitely. Peralta gives up hard contact to both sides of the plate. Not particularly effective from a Woba standpoint either. So, yeah, you can target the 1-6. You can stack it and feel pretty good about it.
I think it was Sunday. I can't even remember. The whole weekend's kind of just like bunched together for me. But I punted catcher with Turner. He had two RBI doubles. So, you know, he's not the worst in the world either. I know he was batting like 130 with like 2 hits when I played him. But, hey, it worked out. On the other side, rookie Davis, another righty here. So Eric Thames, just continue to play this guy. You know, it's just incredible that, you know, he went over there for a couple years, played some Korea baseball. They throwed so much junk at him that now he's just hitting the stuff that he was just striking out on so much. And, like, his power is really starting to come through.
Yeah, I'm glad he's up to 5K on DraftKings. He was just basically an autoplay for the last 2 weeks. But I guess there are some people that didn't play him, so I guess I can't complain too much. But, yeah, the guy's just incredible, and he's showing a lot of plate discipline as well. 14% walk rate already this season. So, yeah, just no matter how you slice it, he's just been awesome, and you got to keep playing him in a matchup against rookie Davis.
Yeah, the thing that's awesome for me is I lost out on a lot of money from Gary Sanchez last year. I just didn't think it was real. And I've played so much Eric Thames that, you know, at 8%, at 6%, at 12%, that I made back my Gary Sanchez fade money last year. So As far as the Brewers go, I like 1 through 5. It'd be interesting to see a lineup if they continue to run Perez out there. He's hot right now. Big game on Tuesday night. But, like, you're wanting bats from this game. This is a game you're going to really want to target the bats from.
Yeah, for sure. Was it Perez that had the two triples?
And he had a home run.
Yeah, and then Manny Pena's been on fire. So if he's in the lineup or Jet Bandy, you can look at either of those catchers. Yeah, VR, bat and leadoff always gives you a nice mix of speed and power. So, yeah, I think you stack both sides of this game and then, move on.
All right, let's talk next game here, Kansas City at Chicago, Nathan Carnes against Jose Quintana. Both these offenses, bottom five in almost every statistic to start the season as far as team, stats go. Like, on a normal slate, I'm not really looking at Jose Quintana or Nathan Carnes, but on this slate, they kind of both make sense.
Yeah, definitely. White Sox is putrid against right-handed pitching, and then the Royals just bad all around. Before last night's game, they were averaging 2.47 runs per game, which was like 0.7 runs fewer than the next team, lowest team in baseball, which is crazy. And I think it might have been the White Sox was the next lowest team. But this is the game you're going to want to choose your pitcher from. For me, I'll probably give the edge to Quintana. He hasn't looked great this season. The command hasn't been there. But he's a guy that historically, pitched well at Cellular Field. And, the Royals just strike out a lot higher than – or a lot more often than they used to. They got a lot of lefties in their lineup. Alex Gordon, Eric Hosmer both can't hit left-handed pitching. So I'm going to look to attack it with Quintana.
As far as bats go, realistically, if I play this slate, maybe a guy like Lorenzo Cain against the lefty hits lefties well, Salvador Perez against the lefty, which he might not even play in this game. It might be a good opportunity for them to give him a day off on the day game. Merrifield, depending on where he hits, he might bat leadoff here. I don't see myself playing really bats from either side here. Maybe the Jose Abreu one-off power play.
Yeah, I think that's about all I'd look at. I think Kane's an interesting play. Does have a higher walk rate than strikeout rate against lefties and Quintana. His numbers aren't awful against righties, but they're certainly not great. 313 wOBA and a 33% hard contact rate. So he's worth the look as a one-off there. And then, like you mentioned, Jose Abreu. Pretty interesting play on the other side.
And I guess Garcia too, right? Like I keep overlooking this guy and he's really been, off to a really strong start this season. So I don't mind Garcia. Moving on, we got Houston at Cleveland, Lance McCullers, Trevor Bauer. McCullers is probably the chalk here, right? Like you're the cash game guy. Is he the chalk play on the slate?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think one of the guys from the White Sox game is probably going to be the highest owned. My guess would be Quintana. I mean, McCullers is definitely the most talented pitcher in the slate, but he does have a tough matchup against the Indians in Cleveland. We don't like to pick on them, especially when they're at home. They get a lot of good left-handed hitters. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the strikeout potential is there, but I think I'd rather, save a little bit and go with one of the other pitchers.
Yeah, as far as tournaments go, McCullers, that curveball is just – it's disgusting. Like, he's always in play because the strikeout rate is always going to be high as long as this curveball continues to be, this elite. So, like, the upside's there. Like you had mentioned, probably the safer play, like you were saying, is kind of go to that game where these two offenses have just been so terrible this season. So, I don't mind it. Trevor Bauer, on the other hand, I have zero interest in him. Any interest for you?
No, not really. He does have 27% strikeout rate this season, and the Astros, they don't strike out a ton, but they do have a couple of high strikeout guys in their lineup. So, I mean, he'd probably be my third or fourth favorite option in the early slate.
Third or fourth favorite option on a three-game slate. So, that kind of tells you, everything you need to know here. As far as bats go, like, is there anything that you're looking at here? I know, we really love that Cincinnati Milwaukee game. That's where we're going to get a lot of stacks from. Any one-offs, any stacks that you like here?
Josh Reddick's interesting. I don't mind Brian McCann if he ends up playing, or Evan Gattis if he ends up playing. I don't love the righties here. Bauer's been pretty good against them, 28% hard contact rate. So probably not in love with the Astros offense. None on the other side. Just don't really want to pick on McCullers, like you mentioned. Just awesome stuff when he's on, and he's throwing a lot more strikes this year, which makes him even tougher when he gets ahead of hitters. So kind of a tough spot for both offenses.
Yeah, like I'm just going to kind of be filling in with guys here. Like I'm going to do everything I can to fit in, you know, bats from that Milwaukee game in this early slate. And I'm really just going to use the other two games to kind of, you know, find maybe cheap value plays to, you know, fit into these, you know, power spots. And, you know, it's a three game slate, and that's probably the chalky thing to do. And, you know, game theory will tell you otherwise. But like realistically, like I just don't see a Kansas City stack or a Chicago White Sox stack, you know, winning a slate. And like maybe the Indians and Lance McCullers blows up and has that game where he blows up. But like you just look at it and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to play the chalk and I'm just going to be done with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing the early slate, the tournaments aren't that huge anyway. So you're probably playing some cash maybe anyway. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty easy slate. Just take the offenses in that game in Miller Park. And then, yeah, good luck with the pitcher.
All right, let's move on. You know, let's talk about this late slate. I actually think it's a pretty interesting slate. I say that almost every day, but like, you get going and you're like, you know, we do this every day. And like, you know, some slates are really great for hitting and some slates are really great for pitching. And I think this is one of those slates that we're going to be talking a lot about bats. You know, we'll see your thoughts, but let's get into it. We're going to start with Chicago at Pittsburgh. We got John Lester against Tyler Glasnow. Like Lester for me, not a guy that I typically like love playing. You know, the upside is there, but it's, you know, not the type of ceiling that you're going to get maybe from a guy like Syndergaard, who we'll talk about here in a little while. But like this spot is just so good for Lester. The Pirates off to a really slow start. I like Lester a lot. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I like him a lot too. They don't have Starling Marte anymore. And even the guys that hit right-handed pitching or left-handed pitching pretty well, like David Freese, they have high strikeout rates. So I'm good with Lester. I do prefer Syndergaard, who we'll get to. But you certainly can't go wrong with him. It's a good pitcher's park. He's got that offense behind him. So I think he's a good bet to pick up the win here.
Yeah, Pirates only hitting .210 as a team against lefties this season. They only have 5 home runs, which – you know, realistically, not terrible because, you know, like we said, the Red Sox only have, what, 11 as a team this season. So, but, like, the power, there's just, like, you mentioned Freeze. Freeze, a guy that does actually hit lefties really well, but you look at the stats and his ground ball rate is, like, 60% against lefties since the start of last year. So, like, I just don't see this spot, you know, Lester blowing up. And, you know, the one guy that kind of worries me is McCutchen. If he gets on, he'll run. And we know Lester not that great at holding on runners, so that worries me a little bit, but, like, I just don't see – and, like, the run support, right? Like, Tyler Glasnow on the other side here, the Cubs are extremely hot. Like, Lester just sets up as a guy that's going to go 6-7 innings, stay kind of clean here, maybe give up 1 or 2 earned runs, pick up 6 strikeouts, and just cruise to a win.
Yeah, very safe. I mean, he's not going to be uber popular, which is good in tournaments. And his price, it's kind of expensive, but it's not, you know, unplayable if you don't want to play Syndergaard. Then Glasnow, I think we just got to avoid him until he can throw a strike or two.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if we don't see him back in AAA here within the next couple starts if this continues. They just, like you said, the walk rate is just insane. Against lefties, 17%. Against righties, a little bit lower at 8.6%, which doesn't help him here because he's going to face a lot of lefties, maybe what, one or two righties in this lineup. Chris Bryant, Russell, maybe Baez draws a start, but like he's going to see a lot of lefties in this lineup. And it just doesn't play well to him. It actually plays really well to the Cubs. You know, it's a game in PNC. They can obviously put up a bunch of runs. What are we doing with the Cubs bats?
You know what's crazy about Glasnow? He has a 9.8% hard contact rate and a 7.94 ERA this year. Like he just is walking everybody and then – but yeah, anyway, for the Cubs, I mean, they're going to, yeah, I mean, they all are very good plate discipline. You know, 5 of their projected starters have a walk rate of at least 10% against righties. So I expect them to be on base early and often. And, you know, teams that can load the bases are really good teams to stack just because they're going to have a lot of RBI opportunities, and especially if they can hit home runs. So I really like a Cubs stack here. I think you can play Schwarber, Rizzo, Zobrist in cash games.
Do not leave out my boy Hayward. I know he bats down the lineup, but gosh.
He's been awesome.
He's stroking the baseball right now. He's on fire. So
yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, like I'm with you. I think the Cubs stack firmly in play. I think there's better stacks on the slate when we get, you know, to these later games, like Trevor Cahill's in Chase Field. That's all I need to say. Like, you know, there's spots later in the slate, but like the Cubs are a team that, you know, we saw it the other night. They can put up 5, 6, 7, 8 runs in an inning. So like they're in play. The runners and the RBI potential are going to be there. So I don't know if I would play them as a lot as one-offs. Maybe like Hayward, Montero in that 6 and 7 spot where there's probably going to be even more RBI potential. So maybe that's where I'm getting my one-offs. But I do think the Cubs stack's in play. As far as the Pirates go, there's really nothing that I like here. We talked about Freeze, 25% strikeout rate, 58% ground ball rate. But he does have a 44% hard contact rate. So like the hard contact's there. The average is there. It's just he's hitting a lot of it on the ground, and you know he's striking out a bunch. So I just maybe McCutchen as a one-off because you know he'll run, but we look at it, you know, dating back to last season, he only has one stolen base against the lefty in 131 at bats. So like while you know it kind of stands out, they just don't run. Like we look at it, and you know all the projected starters back to last season, they have 6 stolen bases since the start of 2016 against lefties. It's just not there.
Yeah. Yeah, the one guy that would run, Starling Marte, is not.
Exactly. He's
suspended. So
suspended. McCutchen has 2 stolen bases in his career off of Lester. He's 5 for 26, batting 192.
Yeah, I'll look elsewhere.
All right, moving on. Tampa at Baltimore. Alex Cobb against Dylan Bundy. I think it's Bundy starting in this game.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. Any interest in Cobb or Bundy here?
You know, I want Cobb to be good and the peripherals, you know, are slowly improving. But until that strikeout rate comes up, I don't think we need to look his way, especially in a matchup against the Orioles in Camden Yards. Bundy is at least a little bit interesting. The Rays do lead the American League in runs scored per game, but they do have a high strikeout rate as well. 5 of their projected starters have a strikeout rate of at least 25% against righties. Bundy's, you know, a sizable favorite at home, so I don't hate him in tournaments, but definitely some safer options in cash games.
Yeah, he sets up as a good tournament play, right? Like, we're looking at a Rays team that has a 26% strikeout rate against righties this season, but they're hitting .253 as a team, which is not terrible. The WOBA is .322, which is not terrible. The WRC Plus is .114, which is above that league average right now. 21 home runs against righties, like, this is like the ultimate like boom bust spot for Bundy. Like he could go out and have an absolute gym here. He can go out and get blown up. Like, yep. You know, if you're playing Bundy in tournaments, you probably want to have a hedge race stack.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with everything you just said.
Oh man, we're on the same page. Yeah, Alex Cobb, not a guy that I really like. Baltimore off to a pretty slow start this season. They've been real hit or miss, but like it's still not a team I'm going to pick at home. You know, even in their kind of slow start this season, you know, they lead the Major League Baseball against right-handed pitching in ISO at .227. So like the power continues to be there for this team, and I'm not playing a pitcher against them.
Oh, I was so disappointed in them last night. Erasmo Ramirez got scratched like 10 minutes before, you know, the game started, so I just loaded up on Orioles. They were all under 10% too, and they scored 0 runs.
Yeah, I would have been jumping on that. Like, I had 0 interest against Ramirez. Yeah, I probably would have been changing a bunch of lineups there. So this might be a good spot that if they're going to be low-owned because you said that. So let's talk Baltimore bats here against Cobb. Cobb, like, these numbers are going to go down. His WOBA is not going to stay this high since he's come back last season. You know, he's not this bad of a pitcher. He's starting to look better on the hill. You know, we saw him last year come back, and he was awful. A little bit better. You know, the hits are still concerning. He's given up 20 hits over his last 2 starts, and he's given up 4 earned runs in, what, 3 or 4 starts this season. So the numbers are going to come down, but, like, he still hasn't been good.
Yeah, and he has a really good track record against the Orioles, but, you know, that was mostly before Tommy John surgery, so Yeah, I think the Orioles are kind of more of a stack or stay away for me. I don't really love any of the individual plays, at least for cash games. Maybe Chris Davis as a one-off, but I'll probably have either Orioles stack or nothing from the offense.
What are we doing with Rays here? I know I mentioned if you're going to play Bundy, have a hedge stack. What's your thoughts just overall here on the Rays?
Yeah, so Bundy's really good at limiting hard contact. His wOBA to lefties and righties is both under 315. Pretty good strikeout rate against hitters from both sides of the plate. I think you can look at Corey Dickerson and Brad Miller. Both are very good against right-handed pitching. Evan Longoria has just been smoking the ball so far this season. But I just think there's going to be better options. You know, when you come down to it, I don't think any of these guys are going to be on my priority list to get into my lineup.
What's Longoria's price? Because the one thing, like, I've noticed about Bundy, he's been, you know, you mentioned he's limiting the hard contact, but he's been giving up home runs to righties. Longoria is really expensive on DraftKings. Not really getting a good discount here. Good ballpark shift. Like, it's really going to be like a kind of a stack. And, you know, they do get a ballpark upgrade. Let's say that, you know, they do get a ballpark upgrade, you know. So, like, maybe you stack them. You know, you already mentioned, like, they're scoring a bunch of runs this season. So, I think you look at a stack or probably stay away here. I'm really just not liking the one-offs because, like, you look at the pricing and, like, you're not really getting a discount on anybody. Like, Souza's over 4K. Dickerson and Kiermaier over 4K. Longoria's over 4K. Like, you're not getting that real discount.
Yeah, it seems like DraftKings just adjusted all their prices overnight.
I love it when it's a tighter cap. I can't lie. I make fun of them all the time because their cap is too loose. But this is I like when it's tougher like this.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, moving on. Miami at Philadelphia. Edison Volquez against – I don't even know who's starting for Philadelphia. It says Velasquez. Is that – he's
– Yeah, that game got rained out. So I don't know if Chen's going to pitch or Volquez is going to pitch. But I think Velasquez is definitely going to pitch for the Phillies.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I'm pulling up MLB.com to see. Yeah, it looks like Chen and Velasquez are going to pitch. So, you know, the Roto-Grinders lineup page will update. All right, so this is kind of the same matchup that we were expecting on Tuesday. Hopefully the weather kind of plays out better here. What's your thoughts on these pitchers?
Yeah, so Chen's been up and down this season. If you pull up his FanDuel game log, he's got like 40-0 and then 37 fantasy points in his first three starts. So he's been all over the map. I have a lot more interest in the Phillies offense than I do in Chen. Gives up a lot of hard contact to righties. And the Phillies kind of good against left-handed pitching, so I don't mind that. And then Velasquez is definitely interested. Only 7,800 on FanDuel, 8,900 on DraftKings. That's a steep discount for a guy that has a 27% strikeout rate. You know, he hasn't looked great, and he's been struggling with his command, but I'm not too worried about the Marlins offense in this one.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying here. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research. I want to see how he profiles against, like, Stanton and Ozuna, but I would think that this is a really good spot for Velasquez as far as upside. The ballpark, if this game was in Miami, I'd be really heavy on Velasquez. You know, the ballpark is always the concern. You know, this ballpark plays really small. So, you know, a little interest, the upside's there. Like you mentioned, the price is really fair. So, yeah, I could see it in tournaments. As far as the Marlins bats go, I'm not going to go out of my way to pick on Velasquez. You know, where he struggles is lefties, gives up a lot of hard contact to lefties. But, like, you look at it and, like, you know, which lefty is going to get a lot of hard contact off in here? Maybe Justin Bour, but, like, you're not playing Justin Bour on a 12-game slate.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he does have a high fly ball rate, so if you want to look at the lefties with the high ground ball rates, you know, I don't mind Yelich here. Could end up hitting some line drives. I always like playing him against fly ball pitchers just because you don't want to play him against a ground ball pitcher.
No, I definitely agree with that. You know, Yelich, massive ground ball rate. So I can definitely get behind that. As far as Phillies bats go, I know you mentioned that you like them. I think there's definitely some standout guys here. So what are you looking at?
Yeah, I definitely think they're sneaky. 35% hard contact rate from Chandler righties with the 332 wOBA. And I think he's given up 19 home runs or 21 home runs, something like that, to righties since the start of last year. So Cesar Hernandez has been a guy that's been barreling up the ball quite a bit this season. I like him. I like Franco. And Cameron Rupp, if he ends up being in the lineup, don't mind him as well.
Yeah, and just to kind of add another guy, Tommy Joseph, he has a really high fly ball rate, and a guy that like Chen, who has a pretty high home run to fly ball ratio. So I like Joseph. You mentioned Rupp. I really like Rupp here. I really want Rupp to be in the lineup. 286 ISO, almost a 40% hard contact rate against lefties dating back to last year. So I really want Cameron Rupp to be in the lineup. And, you know, Franco, all those guys that you mentioned as well. Like, I think the Phillies are really interesting here. You know, looking at their prices on DraftKings, we're going to get some nice little discounts here. Aaron Ethier, if he bats in that two spot, he's cheap at 3,600. He hits lefties really well. So we're going to get some nice little value here.
Yeah, do you know why Cesar Hernandez is just always cheap on DraftKings?
I'm not going to complain on the slate.
He's been on fire. Pull up his game log. He just double digits almost every night.
Yeah, well, you know, opening day? Like, he had a home run on opening day, and he was, like, almost free.
Yeah, and he's still 3,500. Yeah, I mean, I'll keep playing him. I'm not complaining. I'm just...
Yeah, I'm with you. Moving on, Atlanta at New York. R.A. Dickey. R.A. Dickey, right? No. This should be Julio Teheran, right?
Yeah, that game got rained out too, so I think it's going to be Teheran.
Oh, man, yeah. And then,
yeah, and I think they're pushing back Gesellman's start.
Yeah, so it's going to be Julio Teheran against Noah Syndergaard. I just looked on MLB.com. So, you know, realistically, I don't really have a lot of interest in Julio Teheran here. You know, I wrote him up as my fade yesterday. You know, he really excels against righties. Even though the lefties in this lineup aren't great, you know, we're going to still see a bunch of lefties in this lineup with Conforto, Cabrera, Jay Bruce, Neil Walker, Granderson, Reyes. Like, you know, those lefties are not the ones that are going to, like, you know, have you super scared. But, like, for me to play Julio Teheran, I need to see, like, 5, 6, 7 righties in the lineup.
Yeah, he has to have the platoon advantage if you're going to play him. And I do like pitching him at home too, so I think he's a pretty easy fade. Then Syndergaard, I mean, he's just been awesome. He did get knocked around a little bit in his last start, but he still had a bunch of strikeouts, 29% strikeout rate on the season to go along with the 57% ground ball rate and a low hard contact rate. I love him in this spot. The Braves are a team that, you know, hits for contact, so, you know, maybe downgrade his strikeout potential, you know, 1 or 2 Ks. But, I mean, he's still going to pitch, you know, 7 or 8 innings, get 7 or 8, 9, 10 strikeouts. And, yeah, I like him to pick up the win too.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we could take away from that Philadelphia game for Syndergaard, yeah, he gave up 300 runs, gave up 7 hits. The biggest thing we want to take away there, he threw 114 pitches in that game. So they let him go in that game. You know, he got into that 7th inning and he was facing some guys and, like, they let him continue to pitch. So, like, that's the type of floor we're looking for is, you know, a manager willing to let a guy go a little bit deeper into a game, and seeing 114 pitches is exactly what, you know, we want to see. So, you know, opening week, he faced Atlanta. He, you know, pitched really well in that game, and 86 pitches in that game, 7 strikeouts, 6 innings, 0 in runs. So, like, We know kind of what to expect in this game from Syndergaard.
Yeah, and he throws a ton of strikes. So, I mean, I could see him getting a lot of easy, you know, one or two pitch outs against his team. I don't believe he has a walk yet on the season. Yeah, he's yet to, you know, surrender a walk. So, I mean, I like his chances to get a complete game if they're going to let him throw, you know, 110 pitches again.
Yep, like Syndergaard a lot here too. Don't like any of the Braves bats. If you're going to play anybody, you know, it's Freeman. Freeman's in play on every slate, but I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to play Freeman here against Syndergaard.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's always an interesting leverage play, and he is 5 for 9 with 3 extra base hits against Syndergaard if you want to fade him and go that route in tournaments, but definitely not going out of my way to do it.
Like, if, all right, so realistically, if Freeman got that, like, dynamic pricing and he was, like, 3,500, like, that's where you would take the shot. But, like, he's 4,300. He's almost full price. Like, I'm just not playing him there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we saw that with Buster Posey last night against Clayton Kershaw. You know, he had that big discount and he ended up having a pretty good game, at least, you know, to start the game. He's playing well. So, but you're not getting that with Freeman in this spot.
As far as the Mets bats go, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to pick on Teheran here. Like, the guy that I like is Jay Bruce. I like Jay Bruce and Michael Conforto. Conforto, if he's a bat at the top of this lineup, he's 3,200 on DraftKings. You're going to need a little bit of salary relief if you're going to look at a guy like Syndergaard. Another guy that we had talked about earlier in John Lester, like if you're going to play the stud pitching, you're going to need some value.
Yeah, I wasn't too interested in these Mets bats until I saw their prices. Yeah, Conforto's $3,200, Struble's $3,400, Bruce's only $3,300. So you can definitely get quite a bit of value in this slate or in this spot. And like we mentioned, Teheran really struggles against lefties.
Yeah, you're getting your value one-off plays maybe from this game. Conforto, yeah. Bruce, you mentioned Cabrera, like. You know, if you're building a stack with a pitcher that, you know, you want to pay up a little bit more and you want some one-off power, like all three of the guys that we mentioned could hit home runs against Teheran here.
Yeah. In fact, they're 1 through 6. I'll have at least a 34% hard contact rate against right-handed pitching.
There you go. Moving on to the game that I woke up and I laughed to see the score in this game. Seattle at Detroit. James Paxton against Daniel Norris. Two lefties facing off here. Paxton's strikeout rate, I think, is actually going to be a little bit sustainable. I think that this guy is a real deal. A hard throwing lefty in the majors is always a thing that you want to target. So I don't necessarily love this spot for him, but I could see him being really low owned after Detroit just went out and put up a bunch of runs. I think it was 15? 19.
19, yeah. They hitting a couple more home runs or something there at the end. But, yeah, Paxton, 30% strikeout rate this season. He's throwing a lot of strikes. He's got a 14.4% swinging strike rate. So I do think it's sustainable, maybe not, at a 30% clip, but I do think he can, keep it in the mid-to-high 20s. The Tigers, they're good against left-handed pitching, but they do have quite a few high strikeout guys in their lineup. Castellanos, Upton, McCann. Jacoby Jones all have pretty high strikeout rates against southpaws. So I certainly don't mind Paxton if you want to look at him in tournaments.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent tournament play here. Going to, really see low ownership. This team just scored a bunch of runs, and, he's only $8,200. So you're not paying that, $10,000 price tag. And this guy has two games this season over 30 points. So, the upside, the ceiling is high. The strikeouts are going to be there. It's just – all of, how many runs is this guy going to give up against this Detroit offense that really does hit left-handed pitching really well?
Yeah, and Vegas seems to be, paying attention. He's a small favorite on the road against Detroit, so that says something at least.
Just has to get around James McCann, that's all.
Yeah, and no Miggy, so that helps too.
Yeah, a little bit. Miggy's pretty good baseball. looking at the other side here, Daniel Norris is a guy that I like. I don't know necessarily if I like him on this slate, but I do think he's better than what people, always, say about the guy. It's just Seattle actually can go a little right-handed heavy where, they've had those guys in the past like Gutierrez, They've always had Nelson Cruz who has that big, splits against lefties. But, that now they have Danny Valencia. This Taylor Motter guy seems pretty legit. Haniger, God, I love Mitch Haniger. The guy has just made me so much money because you want to talk about a guy that's been underpriced all season? It's this guy.
Yeah, and Taylor Motter, too. He's still only $3,000 on DraftKings. Haniger, $3,300. I think both firmly in play here.
Haniger left the game Wednesday and is flying back to Seattle. He's not going to play. That stinks.
Oh, well. Right when they get Gene Segura back, too.
Man, that's the thing. Hey, Gene Segura, another guy that's lefty as well.
Yeah, so probably not the best spot for Norris. He has struggled a bit with his command, giving up a lot of hard contact to righties. But, yeah, I think, we could see some positive regression moving forward. But, not tonight.
As far as Seattle's bats go, it kind of ruins my Mitch Haniger love. I like Nelson Cruz, though. 345 ISO against lefties, 39% hard contact rate, 420 WOBA, 172 WRC+, since the start of last season. The guy just mashes left-handed pitching. He's just so good against lefties. It's Nelson Cruz always in play against lefty.
Yeah, he and Paul Goldschmidt, whenever they're playing a lefty, going to be on my radar. And like I mentioned, I love Taylor Motter here. Only 3,200 on FanDuel, 3,000 on DraftKings. And if Haniger, with Haniger out, he's probably going to move up a spot, so he could be batting fifth in this one.
Yeah, if I would have played tonight's slate, I don't know how the Diamondbacks are doing, but, man, I would have stacked them against Clayton Richard.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Looking at Detroit here, You know, I don't really want to pick on Paxton. You know, maybe like if you're going to play Paxton in a tournament, maybe you're looking at some of the Detroit bats, you know, kind of hedge yourself. But like, I really could see him just having a really good game here.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's not a hard contact guy. You know, his splits pretty good against both lefties and righties. So, yeah, I don't love any of the Tigers bats here. Hopefully, you know, they'll be a little more popular after putting up 19 runs last night. I think they're a good fade.
All right. Moving on, New York at Boston. Is Severino going to pitch?
I think so. What I'm seeing, yeah, just Severino and Porcello.
All right.
Just push back a day.
So, like, I've played Severino a lot this season. You know, he's been one of those guys that you want to talk about just been absolute awesome value. It's been him. Like, he's been the guy that's just been – he's underpriced again today at 7,600. He's put up back-to-back 30-point games. But you look at it, like, he faced Chicago. They've been awful this season. He faced Tampa. We talk about them all the time. Boomer bust, strikeouts or nothing. Like, he got hit up by Baltimore. Good offense. Like the Boston Red Sox have not been hitting a bunch of home runs, but when we look at the stats, like, they're still seventh in WOBA. You know, their WRC plus is 109, which is above league average against righties. So, like, they're not the team that you really want to be picking on with pitchers. I just don't know if I can play either one of these pitchers.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're both talented, but I think it's a good spot to fade them. You know, we usually see a lot of runs between these two teams when they meet up. And, you know, the Red Sox, very patient team at the plate. Every projected starter that they have has at least a 6% walk rate against righties and a pretty low strikeout rate as well. So I agree with you. I think, you know, both these guys are going to be in play moving forward, but probably not tonight.
And then you look at, like, Porcello. Like, he pitched really well against Toronto last time out. Who has not pitched well against Toronto this season? Like, realistically, they've just been bad. And you look at the other three starts this season, and he's given up, you know, 16 earned runs. So, like, you know, Porcello, a guy that was fantastic last season, but, you know, you can't really target a guy that's given up, what, 14 earned runs and 16.2 innings outside the game against Toronto. So, like, I'm just not doing it. And the Yankees, you know, the power is real for the Yankees. They got a lot of young talent with a lot of power in this lineup.
Yeah, if he was a little bit cheaper, I mean, he's 9,300 on DraftKings. You know, I wish he was a little bit cheaper because he does have a high ERA. You know, the peripherals still look good for Porcello. Just a little too expensive for me, like you mentioned. Yankees lineup, our offense is getting better, and a lot of young talent there. And it's obviously not a good ballpark for pitchers.
As far as bats go, what, anything standing out to you here in the Yankees?
I don't love anybody here. Jacoby Ellsbury batting cleanup is kind of interesting against his former team. You know, Chase Headley's been on fire to start the season. Aaron Judge, a lot of hard contact against righties. But I think I'll probably end up looking elsewhere.
Ellsbury, actually, his pitch profile, he really hits Porcello pitches well. So, like, I don't have BVP up in front of me. I'm pulled up real quick. But his pitch profile,
oh, yeah.
Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it good?
12 for 31 with four home runs.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. Yeah, sometimes BVP matches up with advanced stats.
Doesn't Ellsbury have six career home runs? Four of them off of Porcello?
That's what it looks like, four home runs against Porcello. Like, Chase Headley. You mentioned him. He's still – this guy – why is a guy that's averaging 9.5 DK points per game and has just been phenomenal this season continue to be underpriced? You know, like, I think the highest price he's had this season is 3,400, and he's a guy that's averaging – he's hitting 340. Like, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah, same with Cesar Hernandez, same with Jay Bruce, who we mentioned. We both like might as well throw Headley in there too.
It's a good value. Yeah, Chase Headley, a guy that I've been playing all season, and, like – so the thing that's been great, too, they've been batting him second, and he's a switch hitter. So, like, if a guy comes in, you know, the lefty comes in late, like, he can hit lefties, too. So, like, I like Chase Headley here. You're the cash game guy. You know, third base pretty loaded here on the slate. You know, we're going to talk about some of these guys in cores and all that other stuff. Could you look at maybe going down to a guy like Headley, you know, in cash?
Yeah, for sure, especially if you want to, you know, pay up for Syndergaard and then maybe try to get a couple of Coors bats in there. You're going to need to, you know, save somewhere. So I think you can definitely look at Headley.
And then as far as the Red Sox go, yeah, they really haven't shown that home run power. So I don't know if you really want to stack them. But I do like, I do kind of like the 2 through 5. And I'll probably mix and match them. I don't know if I'm going to go out of my way to stack them, but like, I don't hate a Red Sox stack. Like you said, these games are long and there's a ton of scoring usually in Red Sox Yankee series.
Yeah, I'm a little more interested in a stack than you are. Anytime we can get the Red Sox, you know, they're probably going to be under 10% owned, maybe even less than that. They're playing at home against their, you know, rival. I'm interested in a stack here, and I like Mookie Betts as a one-off too.
It is definitely fair. It's just like I don't want to bury the lead. Like I'm going to have so many Diamondback stacks on the slate. You know, I just don't want to like, you know, sound too excited about these other stacks when I know that I'm just going to have so much Arizona here because Cahill is not this good and just, he's going to regress and I hope it's the spot. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Moving on though, we got Minnesota at Texas, Hector Santiago against Cole Hamels. Any interest here in either one of these pitchers?
Definitely not in Santiago. You know, he has a 2.19 ERA this season, but I'm definitely not buying that. You know, he's a low strikeout guy. That's, you know, gives up a lot of fly balls and a lot of hard contact, and that doesn't really bode well for a matchup against the Rangers in Arlington. Cole Hamels, a little bit more interesting to me, except for the strikeouts. They just haven't been there this year. The Twins are actually very good against right-handed pitching. So, yeah, I take that back. I'm not interested in that pitcher.
All right, that's good. You know, just, you know, sometimes you look at home road splits and, you know, looking back at 2016, Cole Hamels, home ERA 4.4, away 2.4, at home 3.43 WOBA, allowed a 272 average. Like, this is a good hitter's ballpark. And, you know, you always want to look at, you know, home road splits when you got a pitcher like that pitches in a, you know, a hitter's ballpark. And you kind of want to look at those stats. Like, you don't weigh them too heavily, but like when you're starting to look at stuff and it's like, man, even like the XFIP and the Sierra and all this stuff like backs up like how bad he is at home. You know, the ballpark's playing a factor in those numbers.
Yeah, for sure. Hamels, Tehran's another guy. He just always seems to be more aggressive at home. I think he has like a 5% strikeout difference home and away. So, yeah, for a few of these guys, you definitely want to, you know, factor that in. And, yeah, I agree with you.
And the problem is, like, you know, Hamels faces a Minnesota team that has really good, you know, right-handed hitters against lefties. We know Dozier, Sano, Robbie Grossman, one of the most underrated, you know, hitters against lefties in baseball. And they called Kenny Vargas back up, and he's a guy that has massive power that hits left-handed pitching really hard.
Yeah, don't forget about Jorge Polanco, too, batting fifth.
Oh, yeah, I do. I always forget about him. I'm not even going to lie. This is always a guy that I forget about.
Yeah, and he's usually the cheapest of the bunch. Yeah, I think you can play all these righties here. You know, Cole Hamels is still a good pitcher, but he has struggled with righties, especially at home. So a lot of interesting one-offs. And what about a stack? You interested?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We get, you know, a Minnesota team. They're going to have a lower ownership because they are facing a named pitcher. I say that is because, you know, Cole Hamels still has that name of Cole Hamels. He's still, you know, a good pitcher. It's just this is not the right spot for him. And, you know, there's a ton of power in this lineup. We look at it, Vargas, small sample size, 54% hard contact. Dozier, 40% against lefty. Sano, 40%. Jimenez, if he gets the start, 43%. There's a lot of hard contact here. And like you mentioned, Hamels' strikeout rate just hasn't been there this season. Like, I could really see the Twins putting up like an 8 or 9 spot in this game.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, I think the Rangers could too.
Yeah.
You know, Santiago, hard contact hitters from both sides of the plate, high walk rate, low strikeout rate. His ground ball rate dips 18% against righties. So definitely interested in Napoli. Maybe a little interest in Gomez and Lucroy as well.
Can they give Lucroy the day off, please? Like, I really want Robinson Chirinos to be in the lineup today.
Last time I played him, he had 2 home runs. So yeah,
I'm like down. This is the spot that you really just want to see Lucroy get the day off. And like I say that because Chirinos, you know, dating back to the start of last season, 357 ISO, 50% hard contact rate against lefties.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
The one guy that I don't mind if you want to play like a really random play, Joey Gallo. Let's talk about him for a second. He's going to be a guy. I don't remember who it was, but I was listening to SiriusXM over the weekend where I was driving either from Bristol or to Bristol, and they were talking about Joey Gallo, and they just they said Adam Dunn, and it just stuck with me, and it makes so much sense. Oh, you know, Dunn, a big home run guy, home run or strikeout, and that's kind of what reminds me of Joey Gallo. And you look at his numbers, a pretty small sample size, but two home runs and 22 at-bats with a 41% strikeout rate. Home run or bust.
Did you used to play on Draft Street?
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah,
Adam Dunn used to be like 2K, which was like the minimum, and you lost, I think it was like 1 point for a strikeout. So he would either go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts and lose you 4 points, or he'd hit a home run and, you know, be a great play. So, yeah, every time I think of Adam Dunn, I think of that. But, yeah, Gallo, somehow he has a higher ISO than Woba, right, just because of the limited sample here.
Yeah, it's power, power, power. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm definitely looking at bats in this game. I think this is a really good game to, you know, get some one-offs. And I definitely like the stack on both sides here. I actually kind of like the Minnesota stack a little bit more. And that's weird going against Hamels. But Santiago, always a guy that can get blown up, so don't hate that. Moving on, Toronto at St. Louis. Matt Latos against Carlos Martinez. This is a game, I don't know how it played out. I'm pulling it up really quick. I had a lot of interest in Michael Wacha on
pitched pretty well, but two earned runs. I think he had five or six strikeouts.
Hey, the Blue Jays scored runs? Yeah. Both of these teams scored runs? as far as pitchers in this game, I have zero interest in Matt Latos, but Carlos Martinez, firmly, firmly, firmly in play for me.
Oh, yeah. Give me all the C-Mart here. Price at $8,900. Yeah, just load up on him. Huge strikeout rate, 30% this season. He had that crazy start against the Yankees where he walked like eight guys and had 11 strikeouts. And I don't even know how that's possible with the pitch count. But yeah, this Blue Jays offense is terrible right now. Really, outside of Bautista, they don't have anybody that can hit right-handed pitching.
And, you know, the thing that, like, if people listen to the Morning Grind every day, you know, the siege has really picked up on Toronto just really struggling with the slider. And, you know, it's a good piece of information. You know, they've just really been awful, 40% whiff rate against sliders this season. You look at it, and Carlos Martinez added a slider this offseason. He's thrown it a bunch this season, you know, around 25, 26, 27%. And hitters are only hitting 133 against it. So, like, if he uses that information and uses advanced analytics here and uses that slider a lot against the Blue Jays, like, he could massively rack up the strikeouts in this game.
Yeah, I love, love, love C-Mart in this one. And he's too cheap, so he's going to be chalky, but he's going to be a good play. And, I mean, if you don't want too much exposure to cores, you can definitely fit Syndergaard and Martinez in a lineup.
All right. I'm really not going out of my way to play the Blue Jays in this spot. Any bats here?
No.
And then as far as the Cardinals go, like, they haven't been much better, but Matt Latos is just not good. Yeah, he's just bad. Like, I know he looked decent in, like, the first two innings against the Angels in his first start, and then it just, like, hey, Matt Latos is back, and he just, you know, he stunk it up. But, like, he's just not good. So, like, yeah. The problem is, like, I'm looking at the pricing on the Cardinals, and, like, you're not really getting discounts anywhere. Like, you know, you're paying for Fowler. Diaz is $3,900. Jerko, there you go, $3,400.
The
yep, and a guy that mashes right-handed pitching. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy I was going to bring up. Played him tonight. I had a pretty good game. And, yeah, I'll keep going back to the well there. And I wish the rest of them were cheaper, but like you mentioned, they're kind of priced up for the matchup. So maybe Dexter Fowler on FanDuel is only $3,000.
Yeah, and the so you want to laugh a little bit. Yeah, since it started 2016, in 45 at-bats, Wainwright has a 311 ISO. It's higher than all of the hitters on this team, except all the hitters on this team. He should be pinch hitting more for this team.
Yeah.
He had three home runs against righty since the start of last year.
Yeah. Maybe when the Cardinals cut him, he'll just move to the American League, be a DH.
He has a 366 WOBA. Like, he's 12 for 45. That's not the way. Oh, man. Oh,
that's not as good as Bumgarner, is it?
I don't know. I'd have to pull it up. But, yeah, Bumgarner, really good. Jerko, I just want to pull up his stats really fast. In 292 at-bats against righties since the start of last season, 301 ISO, 363 WOBA, 36% hard contact rate. Like, I really like Jerko in the spot. I'm glad you were going to mention him, and I almost overlooked him.
Yeah, hopefully he's batting cleanup again. And, yeah, I like him as well.
All right, Washington at Coors against Colorado, Tanner Roark, Tyler Chatwood. We don't play pitchers in Coors Field.
Nope.
I hate to be that guy that just really goes through these games fast, but, like, Coors is Coors, and I hate saying that, but, like, you know, I hate spending a lot of time on Coors Field. Like, the least optimal spot ever was, I think it was either Friday or Saturday. It was, like, 35 to 40 degrees, and, like, they still put up a bunch of runs in that game. It's just, like, you know, if you're going to put up runs in that cold of weather – you know, in that type of just environment, it's just like they're always going to put up runs in this game. The ballpark is just huge. It's not always going to be home runs, but like you're going to see doubles. You're going to see triples. You're going to see it's Coors Field.
Yeah. Yeah. Even tonight, it was freezing cold. They already have 15 runs and it's the sixth inning. So,
you know, they're all expensive. And, you know, you look at Chatwood, he was really good on the road, really struggled, you know, at home, obviously. And just like you're playing the guys that you want to play from Coors, 1 through 5 on Washington, 1 through 6, 1 through 7 on Colorado.
Yeah, and you can play Rendon, you can play Weeters too from Washington. Yeah, you can play everybody in this game. Everybody knows Coors, and you know how profitable it can be. But they're going to be popular, so yeah. I mean, not much more to say about it. We love Coors, and there's going to be a lot of runs scored.
Like, if you're playing one-offs from each side, you know, Harper's going to be extremely popular. Maybe you look at Trey Turner because shortstop's always a position that, you know, is kind of limited. So maybe you're looking at Trey Turner at shortstop. And, you know, always for me, when I'm looking at Colorado and I'm looking at one-offs, like, it's always Blackman for me. Like, his stats are just phenomenal. The guy's just – he's really good.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's always my go-to guy when, you know, I'm trying to jam one guy in there for my cash game lineups if I'm trying to pay up for pitching and I need some Coors guy. It's always going to be Blackman. But I like Cargo, too. He homered again last night. Yeah, Arenado, Reynolds has been on fire.
Yeah, he has, man. He's off to a good start this season. You want to talk about Eric Thames getting tested. Mark Reynolds needs to get tested. moving on, San Diego at Arizona. I think I've made it very clear I don't have any interest in Trevor Cahill here.
All right, so let's hear it.
No, he's bad. He sucks. Like, he's not this good. I hate that. Like he's off to a pretty good start this season. Like what's really crazy is like his Sierra and XFIP are actually lower than his 3.44 ERA, and like I'm not believing it. Like. His career swinging strike rate is 8.3%. It's 14.8% this season. He has a 35% hard contact. Like, his contact rate is 66%. His career contact rate is 79%. Like, there's regression coming, and it's Chase Field, and the Diamondbacks are just hot right now. Like, there's just no way I'm not stacking the Diamondbacks here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think if the strikeout rate was accompanied with like an increase in velocity or, you know, something like that, you know, I'd be more interested. But his velocity is actually down from where it was in the last couple seasons. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm expecting him to get knocked around a little bit in this one. I may not love the stack quite as much as you, but I'm definitely interested in Diamondbacks.
That is fair. On the other side of this game, it's Walker, right?
I'm seeing Zach Godley.
Oh, man. Okay.
I don't know. That's what said in the Vegas page I was looking at.
No, that's fine. Let's see here. Yeah, Zach Godley. This is his first start this season, right?
Yep. First start this season. He made 9 starts last year, had a 4.16 Sierra, 18% strikeout rate. Looks like he's a pretty good ground ball pitcher, decent hard contact rate. You know, the Padres are a team that strikes out often, but I don't think – actually, he's not even available on FanDuel or DraftKings, so we don't have to worry about it.
All right, let's talk bats here for San Diego. When we look at Godley, you know, in a small sample size last season, 376 WOBA against lefties, 340 against righties. gave up 13 home runs, which is pretty high for only, 74 innings. So I actually kind of like the Padres here. A lot of people are going to be looking at the Diamondbacks, and maybe this is a scenario where we could actually look at some of these Padres bats like Solarte, Ryan Schimpf. Hedges has been really hot, so I actually don't hate some Padres here for some value.
Yeah, how many of those home runs were to righties?
Let's see. I'm
seeing a 39% hard contact rate to righties.
Seven home runs to righties, six to lefties. Okay.
All right, just curious. So yeah, I mean, I think you can play the guys you mentioned. Will Myers, always great one-off target. He's a guy that always gets overlooked. And Austin Hedges, just been awesome. I'm going to keep playing him at this price.
Do you want to know something insane for Godley?
Huh.
41 innings at Chase Field last year. He gave up 38 earned runs. Holy crap.
Yep, pretty good.
Wow.
That's what, an 8 ERA?
Oh, man, you can't make this stuff up. Oh, 38 earned runs in 41 innings. Wow. 421 WOBA. On base percentage almost 400. Like, ooh, I might like the Padres a little more now than I had originally thought. Like, Renfro's 3,600. Schimpf's 3,900. I know he's off to a slow start. Solarte, 38. Like, Will Myers is the only guy that's, like, extremely expensive here. You mentioned Hedges. I've been playing Hedges a ton. He's been making me a lot of money. So, like, I actually don't hate really anybody from the Padres here. Like, looking at these numbers for Godley.
Yeah, we came into it. You know, I wasn't all that interested. But, the more we dove into it, the more I'm starting to like him as well.
All right. I made it pretty clear. I'm stacking the Diamondbacks. What's your thoughts on Arizona here?
Yeah, I'm going to play AJ Pollock just every night until he gets more expensive. $4,200 is just too cheap for him. When you're listening, last night had another big game, couple stolen bases, some doubles, some hits, some runs. He's just awesome. He can do everything. I also like the left-handed bats of Peralta and Lamb, Goldschmidt, Owings. Yeah, I like him as well.
Yeah, love the Diamondbacks. Love the Diamondbacks. Everybody you mentioned, I love the Diamondbacks. Moving on, Oakland at Los Angeles taking on the Angels. Sean Manaea against Matt, the maker of Shoemaker. Any interest in either one of these pitchers here?
So Manaea, he's got a high strikeout rate. He's a pitcher that I like moving forward. Probably not a great matchup against the Angels, who have one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball. They don't have a lot of power in their lineup, but they're going to put the ball in play. So don't love him. Shoemaker, he's kind of one of those guys that's really streaky. If you look at his last couple of starts, looks like he's had 7 strikeouts since his last 2 starts. So I'm a little bit interested here. The A's are a team that, hits a lot of fly balls, and he gives up a lot of fly balls, and it's a pretty big ballpark. So I think he's at least interesting.
Oh, the maker of shoes. I like this guy. He's one of the guys that I tend to target a bunch. He's a guy that when you pull up his stats, like, they're not sexy, but you mentioned he gets the strikeouts. The strikeout rate is like 23.4% against righties since the start of last season. The thing that I like about him is walk rate against righties is under 5%. He's going to see a bunch of righties in this lineup outside of, Alonso and Vogt. Yeah, I mean, Jed Lowry, I guess, is a switch hitter too. So, he's going to see, probably a majority of righties in this lineup. So, I actually don't hate him in this spot.
Yeah, he's cheap too.
And the ballpark as well. I hit a home run in this ballpark, but, this ballpark is still a pretty big ballpark. And it's going to be in the mid-60s at game time. So, you're not getting that, California 80-degree weather here early in the year.
I like the not-so-subtle brag.
Yeah, I did home run there. I hit a bunch. Anyway, awesome. And then you mentioned Sean Manaea. This isn't just a slate, right? If it was a slate that you needed a guy to kind of just be safe and not likely to get blown up, this would probably be the guy. But I just don't think you need that. You're going to kind of need some upside on the slate.
Yeah, I agree. And when Carlos Martinez is only 1,300 more, I think you just go pay the extra.
You get the C-Mart. As far as bats go in this game, there's just nothing that I really love here. on either side, you know, Mike Trout always in play. He's Mike Trout. He's good at baseball, and he's getting a lefty.
Yeah, Trout's the only play I'm looking at, too. 45% hard contact rate and a 15% walk rate against lefties. So I like him as a one-off. Always like him as a runoff. Everybody else. Maybe Chris Davis?
Always Chris Davis. I forgot. You know, I skipped over him. Chris Davis, always a one-off play. The guy he just hits home runs. That's what he does. He's got massive power.
Yep, and two home runs off of Schumacher.
There you go.
Eight Francis.
That's good BVP. 2-8 at bats. I'm in. It's just like Chris Davis is just that guy, right? Like, he's one of the most underrated power hitters in baseball, and he's again 3,600 on the slate. So like, if you're making a stack and when you make a stack, and I feel like this goes overlooked so much, when you make a 4 or 5 man stack on FanDuel or DraftKings, like your one-offs need to be power guys too. Like, you're not looking for these like guys that don't have any power upside. Like, you want the power upside too. And like, Chris Davis is one of those guys where you're making that stack and you get that last, two or three spots in your lineup. And it's just like, all right, Chris Davis, you know, power upside, 3,600 fits in my stack. Like, do it.
Yep. I always like him as a one-off.
Moving on, last game of the night, finishing up. Man, I feel like we've talked about all 15 games. Hey, we have LA Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, Alex Wood against Johnny Cueto. It's just one of those things for me. I just do not take right-handed pitching against the Dodgers. And I know Johnny Cueto is solid. He's not terrible. I know his ERA is like insane this season. It's really high. But like, I don't take pitchers against the Dodgers, right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, I like Johnny Cueto. I like him in this ballpark. I just don't like him against the Dodgers. Their lineup is loaded with power bats against righties. So I'm on board with you there. And it's worth noting, you know, his velocity is down a little bit this year. So something to keep an eye on moving forward. Then Alex Wood, you know, he's decent, right?
Just yeah, he's matchup. Decent. Like, it's just – if you're ever going to play Alex Wood, like, this is the ballpark to play him in. Like, you know, this ballpark is a big ballpark. The Giants, they're just like – they're like that pesky team that just doesn't go away. Like, you know, we mentioned the Angels don't strike out a lot. You know, the Giants outside of, like, Belt, Pence, and Hundley, there's not a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. I think those are the only three guys, you know, since the start of last season that have over a 20% strikeout rate against lefties. And like, Hundley has that big strikeout rate at 21%, but he brings a 230 ISO and a 45% hard contact rate. So that's just not what you want to see against Alex Wood.
Yeah, I agree. I think, maybe take a look at him when he's pitching at home against the Padres or something, but probably not the spot for him here.
Like, so if we get a lineup where, like, if they sit Belt, maybe even if they sit Crawford, and, like, we see, like, some of these kind of bad righties come in this lineup, like, Alex Wood, he's not a reverse splits guy. The sample size is just not big enough yet. But he does have the pitch type to strike out righties. And, like, you look at the strikeout rate against righties, 26.7% in 46 innings since the start of last season. Like, he has the ability to strike out right-handed bats. So if we get like one of those, I can't even think of some of the guys' names, but they have some of these guys in San Francisco where they just have some, you know, bad righties that they'll put in against lefties, and they'll give Belt days off, or Posey a play first, and they'll bring in the backup catcher. So it all depends on what the lineup looks like. If they go really right-handed heavy, and I kind of don't like the righties that the Giants have, and Alex Wood, maybe a tournament play. I'm guessing he's cheap, 7,400. We get into that, like, do I just pay the extra money for Carlos Martinez or James Paxton, who have upside too? So, like, it just all depends on the lineup that we're going to see here.
Yeah, I agree. For bats, are you interested in the Dodgers?
Not really. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to pick on Cueto. I'm not going to play Cueto in the spot. Like, if I'm playing anybody, it's, you know, the normal guys, Corey Seager. Yasmani Grindal, if he continues to hit in this four spot, like, you get a catcher batting fourth in, you know, one of the best offenses in baseball against right-handed pitching. So, like, it's just not the greatest ballpark in the world. Like, Seager is Seager, but, like, you know, even on this slate, Seager's 42. You're probably finding that extra money to get the Trey Turner.
Yeah, I don't like targeting offenses against Cueto, and I don't like targeting pitchers against the Dodgers. So probably a pretty easy spot to avoid on both sides. I think the Giants, Christian Arroyo is interesting at 2,800. Got his first career major league hit last night against Kershaw, of all people. And, in 16 games of AAA last year, had a massive 692 slugging, 511 WOBA. I know the sample's small, but he's a guy to keep your eye on moving forward.
And shame on Dan and STL for not knowing who he was on Monday when the lineup came out. This guy's a major prospect for the Giants. I think he's actually like their top prospect. So shame on you guys. I'm kidding, but shame on you guys. I was listening to them on my drive back from the racetrack. Shame on you guys for not knowing who Arroyo is. Top prospect, man. Mash. And he was crushing the ball this season too. I think he was batting like 440 something is what I heard or I read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe that's what I was looking at was this year's numbers. Yeah, it was.
So, guy, big prospect in that organization. Definitely don't mind him at shortstop if you want to kind of punt there at 2,800. Maybe you're playing Syndergaard and you're looking at maybe playing like Lester or C-Mart. Yeah. Maybe you're playing two stud pitchers. I don't mind, saving some cap there.
Yeah, especially if he hit second last night. So, if he's up near the top of that order again.
I wouldn't be shocked if he hits up at the top again.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We got some home run derby, and then we're going to get out of here to watch the Jazz and the Clippers. I'll let you bat lead off here. No course field, as always. Everything else is in play, unless you want to just do the late slate.
All right, I'm going to go with my dude, AJ Pollock.
All right. No veto for that one. I'll let you have Pollock. I like how you initially went straight to the Diamondbacks, knowing what's up. I'm going to go really off the board today. I'm in that kind of mood. I'm going to go Cameron Rupp.
Yes, I like it.
And I'm going to go Jed Jerko.
Oh, no, I was going to just say that.
That's
crazy. So I'm going to veto just because I was going to say
not letting me have your guy. I like it. I love those type of vetoes, but that's okay. I have another guy that I like, and it's Ryan Schimpf.
Yep. Talked about the Padres and godly struggles at home. So, like that.
38 home runs in 41 innings.
Is it cheating just to take Thames?
You can have him.
All right.
But I'm going to veto it, so no problem. Thames hasn't been a home run play in like 2 or 3 weeks because he's been vetoed every time.
Yeah, you got to use your veto on him. Okay, I'll go Mike Napoli against Santiago at home.
I like it.
And I need more of an off-the-board one.
Oh, my last one is extremely chalky. For me, anyway.
All right, I'm going to go Jacoby Ellsbury.
BVP!
Yep.
I love it.
Yep, off of Porcello.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And he probably has some ridiculous numbers in Fenway, too, against the Red Sox. So, yeah, like that one a lot. This one is, like, my lock and load home run play of the day. It's Jake Lamb. I love this spot. We talked about Kyle Hill regressing. Even in these numbers that he's been putting up, he has a 35% hard contact rate. So, like, it's coming. I'm telling you guys, it's coming. Love the Diamondbacks in the spot. Notorious, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, it was fun. I felt like it went by pretty fast. These 15-game slates, they're pretty monstrous.
And we get them every Wednesday, so I appreciate you sticking in with us every Wednesday, getting through these 15 games. As always, everybody, you can find Notorious with the Grind Down, just a ton of stuff. Roto Academy. Do you have any Roto Academy stuff out for baseball?
Yeah, I got I think I have one or two articles and then got a video as well.
If you're wanting to get into, more of the analytics, more of the stats side, want to know, what people are thinking, the Roto Academy courses are always a good place to go for those. So make sure you guys are checking those out. We'll be back on Thursday with another edition. I hope everyone has a wonderful Wednesday. Good luck in your contest. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Go Jazz.